And now, Don Blackwell.
I want to invite your attention today to a remarkable parable found in Matthew chapter 25. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. A little boy said that parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, and certainly that would be true of this parable. Let's begin by reading it together. The Bible says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" That's Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And in this paragraph that we've just read appears one of the most sober statements ever to fall from the lips of our Lord. It appears in verse 10. In that statement, the Lord himself said, "And the door was shut." That's the title of today's lesson, "And the door was shut." I want for us to discuss 3 points in this lesson. The first point is this: I am not ready for the shutting of the door if I am lost. I'm not ready for the shutting of the door if I am lost. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul writes, "For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin." Verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." 1 John chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, the apostle declares, "We are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." Now, the point of these verses is simply this, that mankind in general is lost. And that being the case, his greatest need is salvation. Friends, the greatest question ever to fall from mortal lips is, "What must I do to be saved?" That question was asked 3 times following the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. First, I want us to notice that question was asked by the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. The Bible says, "And he brought them out, and he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" And in response to that question, Paul said in verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Then that question was asked also by the Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. "And they cried out and they said, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And in response thereto, Peter said in verse 38 of Acts 2, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.'" And then that statement was asked in substance by Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapters 9, 22, and 26. He said, "What will you have me to do, Lord?" And he was told, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And thus, obeying, he enters the city. And the preacher named Ananias comes to him and says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now, I want you to watch this very carefully. Our question was asked 3 times. Once by the jailer, once by the Jews, and once by Saul. But there were 3 different answers given. The jailer was told to believe. The Jews were told to repent and be baptized. And Saul was told simply to be baptized. Now, why would there be 3 different answers given to the same question? Perhaps this illustration will assist you. Suppose you were beginning a journey, going from point A to point D. And as we began our journey, we ask, "How far is it to point D?" And we're told 20 miles. When we get to point B, we ask, "How far is it to point D?" And we're told 15 miles. At point C, we ask, how far is it to point D? And we're told, 10 miles. Now, we have asked the same question three times, but we're given three different answers, 20, 15, and 10. Why would we be given three different answers to the same question? Of course, the answer is obvious, isn't it? Because we're at different points each time we ask the question. Now, why would three different answers be given to the same question, what must I do to be saved? The answer is for an identical reason, because they were at different points on the road to salvation. You see, the jailer was a heathen, and so he was simply told to believe. But in Acts chapter 2, the Jews were already believers, as is apparent from verses 36 and 37. So why tell them to do that which they've already done? So they were simply told to repent and be baptized. But in the case of Saul, it's apparent from Acts chapter 9, verses 9 through 11, that he was already a penitent believer. So why tell him to do that which he had already done? So he was simply told to be baptized. And since God is no respecter of persons, according to Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, whatever God required of one, God required of all of them. And so, since he required the jailer to believe, then he required all of them to believe. And since he required the Jews to repent, then he required all of them to repent. And since he required Saul to be baptized, he required all of them to be baptized. And so the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved, is believe, repent, and be baptized. And friends, that is how beautifully simple the Bible is. And I'm not ready for the shutting of the door if I am lost. And if I'm lost, then my heart ought to be pulsating and my soul ought to be eager to do the things necessary to change my condition. But secondly, in our lesson, I want us to notice that I'm not ready for the shutting of the door if after I have become a baptized penitent believer, I have not remained faithful. For I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Again, I read in Revelation 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Before I make this next point, I want to say something. Friends, the Bible teaches that all men are saved by the grace of God. The grounds of my salvation is the grace of God, but it also teaches that the conditions of my salvation are that of obedient faith. We are never justified on the grounds of meritorious goodness. We are never justified on the grounds of meritorious works, but rather by an appropriation of the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ because of my obedient faith. In other words, I will be saved by the grace of God if I will obey what He says is required to appropriate that grace. Now, that being understood, I want us to look at a passage together. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 through 24, Jesus said to the saved on that great and final day, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Now that's what we're discussing. I'm not ready for the shutting of the door if I have not remained faithful. Now I want you to observe from this text that my entrance into the city of God will be based upon five criteria. Now what are they? Notice that he said, well done. So then I learned that I must be a doer. Did not the Lord say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 7:21. But not only must I have been a doer, I must have been a doer who did well. He said, well done. I read in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, where the wise man says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 15, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Jeremiah 48 and verse 10, using the American Standard Version, we have a remarkable passage. It reads as follows, cursed be he. Now I've got to stop right there. Why? Because I don't want to be the subject of the curse of heaven. Continue. Cursed be he. My mind wonders, who? Who is the one who is cursed? And so I continue. Cursed be he who doeth the work of Jehovah. Now, that's strange. It makes me wonder, what's he mean? It would make sense if he said, cursed be he who does the work of the devil, but that's not what he says. And so I continue for more information. Cursed be he who doeth the work of Jehovah negligently. Now, what does that tell me? Friends, that tells me that I could be the subject of the curse of heaven while I'm doing the work of the Lord. Now, why? Because I may not be doing it with every fiber of my being. As Paul said, as much as lieth in me. As Solomon would say, do it with your might. Now, back to the text. Well done, thou good. The words good and God are derivatives of the same word, and there's only one way to be good, and that's by being godly. Then he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's our present study, faithfulness. And then the word servant. Now, in reverse order, if I have been a servant, and I have been faithful, and I have been good by being godly, and a doer, and have done well, then the Lord will say to me, enter into the joys of your Lord. But did you observe that among the five criteria was the word faithful? Friends, I'm not ready for the shutting of the door if I have not remained faithful. I have to be faithful if I'm going to be ready when the door is shut. But before a man can be faithful, he must first become a Christian. The Bible teaches that the way a man becomes a child of God is by first hearing the gospel. And upon hearing it, he must believe it. He must hear it, believe it, and then repent of his sins. Acts 17:30 says, and the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Then a man must confess his faith in Christ, and then he must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Friends, once a person has done that, then he must remain faithful if he's going to be ready when the door is shut.